Very thankful for that song this morning. I'd ask an extra interest in your prayers today. Written on the board, title, The Doors in Your Life. Now, in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about the Monarch meeting. And one of the things that was brought out, how is sometimes when we go to camp meeting, people come with maybe more of an open heart, with expectation. Then sometimes in our normal Sunday services. But I shared with the young folks, I believe that the Lord wants us, I know He does, wants us to come to all of our services, regular Sunday morning, with open heart, ready to receive what the Lord has for us. So the message, this is just a little background to this message. The Lord began talking to me about this, and I'll just share a little private conversation I had with Renee. I had to smile just a little bit how the Lord gave me this message, because He was talking to me about it, and I told Renee, I said, I felt like it's a little different message this morning. It's a diverse message, okay? It's a diverse message centered around a singular concept of doors. And I told Renee, I said, it reminded me, and I felt like a novice teacher or preacher who maybe had not had a lot of experience and got out of commentary looking through scriptures on a word. I don't study that way. I use commentary. Don't misunderstand me. But it was a little humorous to me, actually. But the Lord has continued to give me thoughts on this message. And what I would like to share with you this morning is that some of the concepts that are be brought out, they're diverse. And I could preach a message on each of these verses this morning. But I would that the Holy Spirit minister to you with what you need. And that might be different than what I need at the moment. All of us are surrounded by doors. We have doors in our lives. Some doors we walk through daily without thinking much about. There are other doors that we keep locked up. And we don't even go in them. It's just locked. And we don't use them. Some doors are there to protect us. At nighttime, I usually try to remember to go and lock our doors. During the day, we don't lock our doors. They're left open. But at nighttime, I try to go and remember to lock the front and the back door. Some doors are just left wide open. And when doors are left wide open, it's kind of inviting. That's what it's meant for. It's just an open place. Go through the open doors. Sometimes doors are left cracked open just a little bit. Just enough to let something in if they really want to come in. This morning I want to talk to you about the doors in your life. And not just the physical ones, but the spiritual ones. Doors, by definition, are barriers. That's what a door is. It's a barrier that covers up an opening. And it allows entry. Doors allow entry and they allow exit. They provide access to things and security, privacy. If you want privacy, you put a door up. Don't want someone just, you have your bedroom door. How would y'all like someone to go home today and take off all the doors of the bedrooms? It's there for privacy. Some doors are left with locks on them and some are left without locks. Anybody can come and go. You don't have to have any special access. No key, you just go in and it will. But if there is a lock on a door, it means that at some period, at some point, someone wanted to control the access to that room. And they didn't want everybody getting in there. So symbolically, doors also have meaning. When someone says, is there an open door? They're talking about opportunity. There's an open door there. I have an opportunity. Or if you say, the door has been shut, your meaning is, there's not an opportunity anymore. There's no access. I thought this was going to work out in life, and it didn't work out. Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, he said, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. He was talking about opportunity. The Lord opened up a door for me to go minister the gospel. There's a great open door. So there are doors that are going to be open in your life that are opportunities. And yet, when there are doors, it is up to us to make decisions on whether we're going to go through them or not. The Lord has given us the greatest door that has ever existed, but He has given us an invitation. John chapter 10, in verse 7, He said this. Jesus was speaking, and Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am what? I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So my question to you is this morning, do you want to be saved? There is only one door to salvation this morning. And it is not by joining a church. It is not by following a ministry. It is not by trying harder to be good. It is not by following a list of good traditions and rules. Salvation only comes by entering the door of Jesus Christ. He is the only door. You see, to some people, they find their salvation, and not spiritual salvation, but we are living in a world that is trying to find their salvation in education, in intellect, in the amount of money they have, and it's like, I have arrived. I'm educated, I've got money, I've got a powerful position on my job, and to some people, they're looking for almost their salvation there. Some people are finding their salvation, and saints, we are not exempt this morning, okay? They are finding their salvation in fellowshipping with other children of God. That's not our salvation. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. There are some people that are enamored with a ministry. They're enamored with their church history. They're enamored with their roots spiritually. But our history is not going to save us this morning. We are only saved when we choose to enter the door of Jesus Christ. We are not born into the church by natural birth. We are born through spiritual birth through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that is why when children are born and raised, we want them to grow up here in the fellowship of the saints. That you can grow up and be and adopt some of the traditions and good practices of God's people and yet not be saved. Because salvation is entering the door of Jesus Christ. So there is a door in your life this morning, and it's only up to you to make a decision. Will you go through that door or not? Jesus is the door and the only door of salvation. Over in the book of Revelation, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. Very familiar passage in the third chapter of Revelation, the 20th verse. The Spirit was speaking, and Jesus said, "Behold, I stand where? I stand at the door." And what was He doing? He said, "I knock. And if any man," what? "Hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." So do you realize this morning that Jesus is standing at the door of your heart? And the concept of a door is Jesus honors doors. Have you ever known someone that didn't honor a door? There are certain countries, even more than here in the U.S., that a door doesn't mean a lot. You can be in your house and neighbors will come and people will come and they will open up the door and just walk in without knocking or waiting for an invitation. I kind of like people to knock at the door. Do you realize that Jesus is not going to force His way into our lives this morning? He said, "I'm standing at the door." And do you realize who Jesus was talking to? He was talking to the church. Laodiceans, And he was giving them an invitation to repentance to the church. So this was more than just Jesus going out to the vilest sinner out in the world. He was talking to people who were identifying with him. They were calling themselves Christians, as it were. And Jesus said, I'm standing at your door and I'm knocking. And the question is for us this morning, what are you going to do when Jesus is knocking on your heart's door? Are there doors in your life this morning that maybe you have opened the front door? But I want to tell you this. If I open the front door to someone, that doesn't mean I'm opening up the door to my bedroom. When I open the front door and invite someone in, it doesn't mean I'm opening up the closet door for them to just pilfer my closet. I'm opening up the front door. Do you realize that Jesus would like to have access to every room in our heart, in our house, spiritually? And this morning, if there are rooms in your life that you don't want to open up the door to the Lord, is it not a fair question to ask why? Do you want everyone, if I were just to go home with you today, no ex, see, no one knew I was coming home with you, right? I said, I'd really like to go home with you today. No time to pick anything up, no time to clean, no time to make the front room presentable. You know what I'm talking about. Just, I'm going to see it as it is. What would you think if I started opening doors without invitation? Oh, what's in here? I like to look at your closet. It's like, oh, don't go in that room. That's the junk room. Anybody have a junk room? Most people have a junk drawer. My mother, who is about the most organized, cleanest person I've ever known, cleanest house I've ever been in, she even had a junk drawer. Sorry, Mom, she listens to these sometimes. But even we had a junk drawer. It wasn't a junk room. There was a drawer that was kind of miscellaneous things. But do you realize that the Lord is interested in your whole life? And he's saying, I'm going to knock. I'm not going to go in uninvited. But if we are closing areas in our life from the Lord, why don't we want the Lord into that part of our life? Is there anything that you're ashamed of this morning? Are there any areas of your life that you really would be uncomfortable with the Lord coming in and seeing exactly what is in the private areas of your life? See, Christ is at the door still this morning. And he wants to come in. There's another door I'd like to talk about. It's the door that is an entry. And it is a door of choice. Over in Genesis 4, and I'm going to mention a number of scriptures, so we'll move through this. But Genesis 4, 7, God was speaking with Cain. He was speaking with Cain before he killed his brother. I want us to understand, this is before Cain killed Abel. And he said, if you doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? You think the Lord says that to us today? When you're being tempted to do wrong, the Lord's saying, don't you know if you do well, you'll be accepted? Dealing with someone right now that feels like everybody's against them. But do you know what the answer is? It's not everybody else's problem. They're the problem. But they're looking at what everybody else is doing. They're looking at what everybody else is doing. Don't you know this morning if you do well, you will be accepted, the Lord said. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at what? Lieth at the door. In other words, it hasn't come in yet. Do you realize that sin lies at the door sometimes? It's like a dog or a cat that is right at the door. And when you open the door, if you open it wide enough, what happens? They will slip in. I don't want a dog or cat in my house. If you have one in your house, that's your business, but I don't want one in my house. Because I don't, anyway, there's a whole lot of reasons why. I am allergic to cats, for you cat lovers, though. But the thing about it is sin lies at the door. Do you realize the enemy has a trap laid for each and every one of us this morning? And the Spirit of the Lord was warning Cain. There's a problem here because you have some animosity against your brother and sin lies at the door. In other words, it's ready to come in, so you better be on guard. Saints, it doesn't matter how long we have been saved, we must keep our guard up because sin lies at the door. The enemy is doing everything he can to cause all of us to fall away from what God has done in our life. And we need to recognize that there are temptations and there are battles that we go through that we need to be aware that if I open up the door, something's going to slip in. I want to keep that door shut. See, there are doors to open to the Lord, and there are doors that require themselves to be kept shut to keep sin out. Because, see, an open door invites someone in. And there are some things I don't want in our house. I don't want sin in my house. What about you? If you leave the door open just a crack, do you know what's going to happen? It's going to start coming in. It's going to get a foothold in. It may not take up residence immediately, but it gets a foothold in, and then step by step, it starts taking over the house. There's another protection for us that I was really blessed with as I meditated upon. In the book of Exodus, and we won't turn and read it, in the 12th chapter, when the death angel was going to pass over, do you remember where the blood of the lamb was supposed to be applied? To the doorpost, wasn't it? Above the door and on both sides. That was a protection from the death angel. That is our protection this morning, is the blood of Jesus. When there are things that would come to try to destroy your life, folks, our protection is found in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the protection of our door. And I'm going to go a step further here. In every door of your life, are you applying the blood? Everything that you do, every place you go, everything that you watch, everything that you listen to, everything that you meditate upon. See, those are doors, aren't they? We need to have the blood of Jesus applied. I left my phone down there. Do you know what you all need to do with your phones this morning? I want it sanctified, Lord. See, the Lord, that you don't sanctify an item, but you sanctify the heart. You know, if you want to cross every T on this subject. Lord, but when I use my phone, when you use the things, the world is in your pocket. Lord, I want the blood applied to the doorpost of my heart. That everything that I look at and listen to, Lord, I want this sanctified to you, lest sin come through the door. There's another door, and it is the door of utterance. In the book of Colossians, in the 4th chapter, said, wherewithal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now Paul was talking about sharing the gospel. I'm praying that the door of utterance to speak the things of Christ. But as I meditated upon that, I thought, you know, there's a lot of other doors of utterance that we can have. He was wanting to speak the mysteries of Christ. So I just wonder this week, can we talk about what doors you've opened? And I'm talking about this door right here. I'm talking about the door of your mouth. What's come out of your mouth this week? Door of utterance, isn't it? Do you know doors are meant to be open, but sometimes they are meant to be shut? How have you been doing this week? What have you been communicating from your mouth this week? The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I want to encourage us, this is another door. I said this is a singular subject, but it's diverse. What about the door of your mouth? Does anybody need the Lord to help you with that? Lord wants to help you. Lord, sanctify my mouth. Lord, sanctify my heart. I don't want to walk around with a bloody lip. People say, well, I'm just trying not to say anything. Christians are not supposed to be walking around with bloody lips because they're trying so hard. That means you need your heart sanctified. Lord, I want you to do something in my heart that I'm not having to bite my lip. The door of utterance. Another door. And do you know that all privacy is not bad? You see, the Lord wants everything to be open to Him, correct? And yet, the Scripture talks about another door. In Matthew 6, verse 6, He says, when thou prayest, enter into where? Enter into your closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. Was He speaking literally? Do you have to literally enter into your closet? But do you know, I wonder sometimes if we need to do better. When we go to the Lord in prayer, if we need to work a little bit harder and do a little bit better about shutting the door to keep the things of the world out while we're spending time with the Lord. Do you know it's one of the biggest challenges of today? Have you ever gotten down to pray? I know this is a rhetorical question. Have you ever gotten down to pray and just your mind just kept thinking about what I'm going to have to do here and this problem here and what I plan to do after this and what? And it's just like your mind is just being inundated with stuff. So the challenge that Jesus was giving His disciples is go in the closet. Do what you can to isolate yourself from the things of this world and close the door. I want to encourage you to try to spend some private time with the Lord. Shut the world out. Shut the door and spend some quiet time with God. There are some things that are in people's closets, buried away in the back room. Secret thoughts, secret ambitions, hurts, and bitterness. And we want to keep the door shut. I don't want someone opening up that door in my life. Are you willing this morning to bring those things to light? The Scripture says that men love what? Darkness rather than light. Do you know that when you are living and had this discussion, Renee and I were talking about it yesterday, when people live honest lives, you don't have to worry about what someone finds out. When you tell the truth all the time, you don't have to worry about someone said, but you said such and such. Oh, well, if I said such, I don't have anything to be ashamed of. And if I made a mistake, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. But do you realize when you tell a lie, you're going to end up getting caught? One lie leads to another, and it leads to deceptiveness. And it's like the devil gets in the room, and he starts taking hold. You know what a wonderful thing it is just not to ever tell a lie? By the grace of God, I don't tell a lie. That is a moral sin. It is a moral violation. If you ask me a question and I intentionally... Now, I've made mistakes before, and I've said something came out of my mouth, and when I heard it, I thought, uh-oh, that's not right, and I had to correct it immediately. Like the lady at the DMV going through her list. Have you had a heart attack? Have you had seizures? Have you... No. Okay, wait. Wait a minute. I need to back up there a little bit. Ma'am, I actually have. See, it came out of my mouth. It was not premeditated, and I had to fix it. Saints, we can't tell lies. Live in clarity. And when you do that, it's like it's there's freedom in that. Because it doesn't matter what door's opened. There's another door that all of us have to fight against. And the Scripture talks about the things that are in the world, He said, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. There's a lot that could be said about that. But those things want to take up residence in your life. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Some say, well, I'm not going to do something lustful. But what about pride? What about pride? What about being lifted up in who and what you are and what you have? And what about that? I want to encourage us this morning to not open up the door to the lustful things of this world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because, and that comes down to where our affections are, where we spend our time, where our allegiance is. And the Lord blessed me with this as I was kind of questioning. Have you ever wondered why the Lord even put some doors in our lives as humans? It's like, Lord, you don't want the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You don't want that. So why do people struggle with that so much? Saved people are tempted, yes? I'm not wrong there, am I? Saved people are tempted, but you have to keep the door shut. And I've asked myself before, Lord, why is it so hard sometimes? Why is there even a door there? Why can't we just, Lord, I'm saved. I don't want to struggle with that. I want to battle with that. And the Lord gave me an answer yesterday. I was out for a little walk, and I was sharing with Renee. I was like, you know, I was meditating on this, and it was like, not that it's some new concept, but it's the essence of our humanity. If there were no doors, we would be in prison. Doors mean choice. If there were no doors, there would be no entry or exit. That would be a prison. If there were no doors, there would be no choice. But because there is a doorway to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and we have to struggle with those things because we're human, when we keep that door shut, what we are telling God is, I love you more. Because if he took that door away, what choice would we even have? We would be like spiritual robots. And in essence, we would be in prison. So folks, sometimes the struggles that you have because you are human, that is evidence of a choice that you have to make of where you're going to put your love and priorities. I hope that that's clear this morning. There could be more said about that. I'm going to conclude here shortly. There's much more that could be said on this topic. Adultery is the same way. I was reading in the book of Proverbs in the 5th chapter, And he was saying, son, attend to my wisdom. Listen to me. Regard discretion. And he said, the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And he was warning the young men. He said, her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. And then he went on to say, remove thy way. And this is what I want us to get to. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the what? The door of her house. Because here's what happens. Temptation is not sin, right? Temptation is not sin. But if a young man, which he's talking about, he does multiple places in Proverbs, a young man is being tempted to commit sin, okay? And there's this beautiful woman that is attractive, and she's drawing him, and she has the right words to speak, and there's an allurement there. He's saying, be careful, son. Be careful, son. He said, don't. He said, this is the way to hell. You're going to lose your soul. But he said, remove thy way far from her. Someone could say, well, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to get close to her. But he went on and said, don't even come nigh the door of her house. Why? What if every day on the way to work, I'm going to drive by her house? What's that going to do, y'all? What's it do? Am I the only one that knows? What does it happen if you've been saved from drinking and you drive by the bar that you used to be in? Every day you used to go to the bar and the Lord delivered you, and every day you drive by there. Do you think that's going to put temptation in your way? This is what he's talking about. Don't say, well, I'm not going to do it. Don't even go by the doorway. This is what the passage of Scripture means that says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He didn't just say don't sin or don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said don't make provision for it. You know what that means? Where there is temptation, do everything in your power to keep that door shut and locked. I don't want to drive by that house. I don't want to go by that bar. I don't want to watch something on my phone that opens the door to temptation. You might say, but I would never talk that way. You listening to cussing long enough, you know what's going to happen? You look at lustful things long enough, you know what's going to happen? When we're out in the world, there's enough of it out there, but we can't help it, and so there is grace to protect us. But the moment you open the door and you start feeding on something, don't expect the grace of God to keep you from sin. I hope you understood what I'm saying there. The grace was there to keep the door locked. Lord, I don't want to go in that place. I don't want that sin to come in. So keep the door locked and don't even go nigh it. But the moment you unlock the door and you start entertaining the enemy with an open door, and then the enemy comes in and you sin, and you say, I just don't know what happened. It seems like the grace of God didn't work for me. Yes, it would have worked to keep the door shut. You chose to open the door. Is that too strong? When you open the door to someone, folks, you're in essence giving them leeway to come in. So I want to encourage you all, there is open the door to Jesus, but keep the door locked against the sinful things of this world and don't even go nigh. All right. There is not going to be a part two because I'm going to be gone next Sunday and we're not having afternoon service. So would you give me 5 more minutes? I mentioned I've been places that people came in without knocking. A locked door has advantages. I want to encourage you all, there are some doors in your life that you need to lock the door and throw away the key. Don't ever want to go there again. Now, if you remove the door, the choice is gone, and God's not going to do that. That's up to us. That's why there's doors. But there are doors that we need to lock and we need to throw away the key and say, Lord, I know that I still have the power of choice, but I don't ever want to go through that door again. And make the decisions in your life to keep you from that door being opened again. In the end, it is the Lord who is going to shut the door of opportunity to be saved. Remember the story of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. It says, when they went to buy, the foolish virgins, the bridegroom came, and they were ready. They that were ready went in with him and to the marriage, and the door was what? It was shut. It's too late. There's going to come a day when the door of opportunity is going to be shut. No time to pray. No time to fix anything. No time to get right with God. So, I'd like to encourage you to do a door inventory. When we built this chapel, y'all remember? Count the doors. How many doors do we need? What size of doors do we need? And I almost think we made a couple mistakes. Am I right? Remember that right? We made mistakes. It's a joint thing here now. We need to do a door inventory of our life. What doors are in your life? What doors do you want left open this morning? And what doors need to be shut in your life? Which doors need to open up and expose some things that are behind them for the purpose of getting things fixed? Are there doors this morning in your life that you're afraid to open? I want you to know the Lord will be there and help you with it. But you need to open the door to Him. And I'll just close with one other place. Sometimes people close doors to other people in their lives. I found that when people start doing wrong in their life, you know what they tend to start doing? They tend to start withdrawing from the people that love them the most. I've seen that over and over and over. I've seen parents do it, children do it, people in the church do it. They start doing wrong and they start closing the door and isolating themselves from the people that could be the biggest help to them. In your homes, in your marriages, in your relationships, are there some doors that you need to open back up? You know, open doors with family and friends and God's people, it's a wonderful thing to have. So I just want to encourage you as we take these thoughts. Like I said, it was a diverse message centered around a singular concept of doors. But I want to encourage you to consider the doors in your life this week. And you have choices on what doors you will open.